You see, Jesus said, I of myself, I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And not my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. The inclination of every one of us is to somehow prove our particular point in life, and we think that we've got something important to say. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we all experience that. And there's nothing wrong with that, in essence. You know, it's good to feel that you are, to a degree, important. You are important to God, let's say it that way. But the importance that we have is not in our own humanity. Right. We are a witness unto reality, not a witness to an experience that we have. But we do have experiences. Now, up till now, we have sort of spoken a lot about attitude toward a world. Isn't that right? An attitude towards, you know, human beings that we know, even ourselves. And we have made judgment on ourselves and based upon a belief that is deep-seated with every one of us, that we were, well, that we are really not quite certain of ourselves. And there's a feeling within every one of us that brings about something. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not so good. As it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What it means is what you really feel within yourself, that resonates within yourself, is what you are going to experience. So don't complain if things happen to you that you don't like. Just go back and don't blame God, don't blame the circumstances, don't blame your wife or your kids, or don't blame anything, because it's all the workings of your own making. You know, there was a good song that we learned from Peter Demetris. It is finished. The battle is over. The conflict is settled. We were still experienced the experience we had in prison of the human mind, and they were of our own making. So up till now we have been talking about talking about a world that we either judge good or evil, or do not, or look at it. Now I want you to understand what happens when we come to the place where Jesus was. And when Paul says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, he was not talking about having a whole lot of knowledge about something, or even a God knowledge. You would think what God is or whatever. It is simply a knowledge or a realization of what am I? Because if you make your bed in hell, and you know, it's strange because Jesus also made his bed in hell. Isn't that what it says? You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You see, how can we experience or continue to experience the corruption that we really don't like? Isn't that right? Nobody likes to be sick, or nobody likes to have experiences of financial or relationships. Anything can happen in a world that we know today as this world. And I'm not here either to try to point out to you how evil this world is or how good this world is. I must abstain from all judgment to whatever appears. But that is now the beginning. The beginning of our lesson is, because the question was asked me even recently, why are all these things happening to me and not to others? Why is something good happening to that person and not somebody, you know? And I read a good story about Walter Lennion again. A sister mentioned Walter Lennion. Well, I'm going to continue with Walter Lennion for a little while. And she gave a good illustration about a man that recently, in a charity drive for a limousine, a famous make, you know, like Mike Scott, you know, one of these real good cars, you know, really. And he raffled that off, you know what I mean? Now, this man it was raffled up to make it, you know, like a raise funds for refugees for a good purpose, you see. And the award, or the winning ticket, went to a man who already possessed 17 other cars.
Wow.
You know. And who greeted the news with, good heavens, why didn't somebody who wanted and needed a car get it? Why didn't somebody that really needed a car get it? Why, you know, why did he, you know, already had got 17 cars, get none of one? What is it? Well, if you're on our mailing list, I'll send you again the thing, the law of attraction. Why is it that something good happens to some and not to others? Why something evil happens? Well, it is certainly not because of God. God does not reward anybody for being good, not even having faith. Because usually the faith that we think we have is not faith. It's just a sense of lack. A feeling that we're lacking something. This, I've got faith for a new car. Have you? And why didn't I get it? The fellow that got 17 other cars, he gets it. Well, this is now the thing. Why did this man, contrary to all the teachings of what we call the word of faith, you know what I mean? Speak the word only about it, and that will be happening to you. Why did he win the prize? He had no desire for it. Now, what kind of desire this man had, I don't know, but I'm sure that is one thing he desired most, and it was that I may know him. Huh? I know a man who had 17 cars, who might have a couple of million on the bank. I mean, I don't know the man, but I know that he was in a state of receptivity where he could hear something resonating within him, where he had no feeling of guilt or sense of lack or anything. And the scripture says, to him that hath shall be given. Mark chapter 4. And he that has not, even what he thinks he have will be taken away from him. That doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, that's not fair, Lord. Now, God is not in the business of being fair. The law works. And it's the only law that works. And the law of the Spirit of life that was demonstrated in Christ Jesus, his comeliness, his total awareness that he was totally satisfied when he awakened into the likeness of what he already is. And you know, when it says all things work together for the good, that's not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? That's from the tree of life, where only good things, God only thinks good things towards you. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of harmony, thoughts of well-being. You know? Now, this is the day that the new consciousness is being born in us, contrary to all the experiences that you might have had in the past. Now we don't remember the past, we enter into the new place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a realm for you, a place for you, that where I am in a state of total satisfaction, in a total sense of, well, I used to, you know, I'm satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction. Does it make sense? I'm satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction. I feel something that has been resonating in me, not just to find out that I shouldn't judge and I shouldn't do this and do that, you know, even, well, there are attitudes that we have to, of course, get rid of first. And we begin to judge righteous judgment, and then the effect of it is quietness, isn't that right? If you don't have anything to judge anything anymore, then, and you don't have to criticize anything anymore, then you begin to get a feeling of opulence. A feeling like, you know, like you see a bird sitting in the tree singing a song. It has no care in the world, it doesn't, you know, even a lily. It toils not, neither does it spin, it sits there and stands. He said, you know, he said, the Father has closed this lily, you know, even more wonderful than even the body that is called Solomon, or Solomon's body, or Solomon's temple, if you like to call it, that was arrayed, beautiful and marvelous, glistening in the sun, the temple of Solomon. And Jesus said, you are arrayed with a more wonderful glory and a more wonderful design that I have designed even before the world was, that you should walk in that glory, walk in the realm that knows no fear. Because that's where the world came from. The world that we know today and all this activity, so-called, you know what I mean? I don't want to mention it anymore. I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to, you know, meditate on it anymore. I don't want to be ignorant either. I know what's going on. But I do not give it any credence. Even if bad tidings come, I must know, I know in whom I believe and I'm fully persuaded. But neither life nor death, blessings or cursings, lack or prosperity, nothing, or health or sickness, nothing can separate me from the opulence feeling that I have now, because I know I am who I am, I know where I'm going, and I'm going nowhere. Because I am all things to all men. Isaiah, no, Isaiah, Isaiah 42, fear not, 43, sorry, fear not, my beloved flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you that opulence that Jesus walked in. I want to speak louder. Is that right?
You're getting quieter instead of louder.
Yeah, I know. I like that. You know, but I like being quiet. You know what I mean? I don't like to hear myself talk anymore. So.
That's good.
But anyway, I'm speaking for the sake of you all wanting to hear that there is a voice within me that is so loud and clear. It is the voice of the Father that speaks to me. And it exalts only that thing what he ordained. He ordained you to be him. But now this all still words until we develop a feeling of I have. So if you feel, I have not. Or I'm sick. Or I can't pay the rent. Or, you know, what's going to happen to me? You know, my wife walked out on me. All these kind of things can happen to you. Then you begin to judge things and say, well, you know, God is dealing with me. Or God is still perfecting me. No, God is not perfecting anything. He's dissolving the thing, what you believe, you thought you were. And then when it's all dissolved, I come forth as light into the world. A comeliness that cause everything around about you to be comforted. A feeling that is beyond comprehension, beyond, and it is really the anointing that anoints everyone. that has able to hear. And then he says, everyone that's called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I'm formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf people that have ears, and let all the nations be gathered together. Now we learned before what Martha was saying, the gathering is the obedience to the voice that speaks. It's obedience. Let the gathering be the awareness that we had in the beginning before fear came in. This is why he said, fear not. How many times did Jesus say, fear not? Fear not, I am with you. I will never leave you, forsake you. Well, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. How can he come when he's omniactive, omnipresent, and he's here and he's now? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but you can't hear me. But everyone that can hear the voice of the Son of God will rise from the dead. In John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, John chapter 5, okay, I was there before. He said, for the Father judges no man. Aren't you glad? Why doesn't the Father judge men? Why doesn't the Father judge any men? Because he doesn't know they exist. God does not judge humanity because he doesn't know about it. Although we only know about it because of fear. Because we have departed from the opulence of what we truly are. A consciousness of I have. A consciousness of knowing that all things are mine. The gold and the silver is mine, saith the Lord. And the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Everything is mine. And the potatoes under it. All things are already there, but it is not yet in our awareness because we have still got a sense of lack. A sense of fear that I'm going to miss out. A sense of fear that I'm going to be, you know, that I'm going to die of some disease or something. You know, people are walking around saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, and they die. What's the matter with them? What's the matter with them? Oh, you know, Jesus said, by his stripes you are healed. Well, why don't you get out of the coffin then? I mean, it's not that way. It's the same story. Fear not. There is no death. I am the resurrection. Are you talking about Jesus or what are you talking about? I'm talking about the one that rose out of humanity, that rose out of judgment and became the fatherhood consciousness. That's another statement of Walter Lanyon. He became the fatherhood consciousness in expression. And that's the comeliness that we have to come to. Not just words, just not statements of what other people say, but rather beginning to experience the comeliness that causes you to know yourself truly, not just as a man born of a woman. And there's nothing wrong with Martha said to be born of a woman. And some people get angry when I said, you were never born. No, you were never born. Because you were already, before Abraham was, I was already there. I was there in God. Because my father and I are always one. There is never any change taking place. There is no variableness in God. Neither is there any change of turning in God. God and his offspring have always been one. But we drifted into oblivion. We drifted into darkness. And the darkness could not comprehend that thing that God spoke. In the beginning was the Word. The Logos. And the Word was with God. Now we saw, oh, that's so beautiful. The word, this King James Version was with God. You know, this is not the Word. This is the letter that we have tried to find out what it's all about. And we have not found it yet. All what we find in there is judgment. And all the time correction. Well, I know we need to be corrected, but how are we going to be corrected? We're going to be corrected by the experiences that we have. Isn't that true? If you can't be corrected by the experience that you have, you will never come to the ultimate realization, I am not flesh and blood. I don't care what happens to this thing called flesh and blood. But at the same time, if you get to know the truth, the way it's truly known, that what you experience in this world, like Jesus said, you know, my kingdom is not of this world, and my servants are not fighting to correct it or to bring about a kingdom that is not even of this world. He's not even trying to bring about a lifestyle that is of this world. It's not of this world. It's not a lifestyle. It is a life that God is. God is life, and we can experience God. So I must experience what I am. And what the Lindian says here, no. The wind blows in your list, and you don't know where it comes from. Consciousness of the present has come. It's the second coming, or the coming of Christ, which means that the presence is here. But coming means presence. We've learned that now, haven't we? We've seen it in various translations now. David was finding it in translations that says that. What shall be the signing of thy presence be? Or thy coming be? Or thy presence, that's much better than trying to, you know, think that Jesus still has to come. Christ cannot come from somewhere. Christ is your very nature. But it's obscured. Now, consciousness of the presence has come. It is the second coming of Christ in the individual, the reappearing of the permanent identity, which automatically lifts him into the place of the finished mystery. You are being lifted up in the finished mystery that was hid from the when the world was founded. This hidden mystery, I am that I am, was lost. And we began to think that we were flesh and blood. And we became afraid. And we tried to do anything to stop us from perishing. Huh? And you know what I shared over the seminar? There is two energy factors in the world, which basically is, one is not true at all. It is a lie. It's a lying activity called the mystery of iniquity. It works now in the children of disobedience. In other words, it works in the people that have no ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So let those that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us today. Are you all hearing me in the back? Okay. Jesus always started with the premise, it is finished, it's done. But you heard Mike say, but Martha said, thank you, Father. He always counseled, take no thought. Why, you know, take no thought? What do you mean? Don't I have to have positive thought? You can't have positive thought. Can I? Can I think positively? No. No, thought has nothing to do with your experience in life. We think it is, because we think we can think positive. Isn't that right? But you can't think positive. It always drifts back into negation. It always drifts back into the obscurity of the carnal mind that thinks that he can change something on the level of the circumstances. And you just can't do that. So why is this happening to me? Simply, my people perish because they have no longer the knowledge of God. Yeah. Now, I shared with you that knowledge will cease. So the knowledge that we had of God and all the beliefs that they have about God, they have to cease.
Yes.
And cease from man whose breath is in his nostril. We've got to cease from all the activity, what we know that had derived out of Genesis chapter 2, where there's a generation of a viper that hangs in this little tree that tells you all the time, you know, speak the word, brother, speak the word of faith, and then you will get it. Then you will get it. and you don't get it. Why is it happening? Because you do not have the feeling of it.
That's it.
You know? It's good. Now, do you think that the rich man ever says that he is rich? Does he ever say, I'm rich. Am I getting rich? I'm rich. No, he's not getting any rich because he says he's rich. He's only rich because he got the consciousness of riches. And you will experience it. Now, I'm not advocating that you try to get the consciousness of riches, because that's not the purpose of our whole message. The purpose is to find that feeling and belonging that Jesus had, that my Father and I bear witness to that truth. And everyone that is of the truth will hear me. That's what he said. And when you hear the voice of the Son of God in John chapter 5, he says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Now, people say, that's a long time. No, it's not a long time, because the everlasting life is not in time.
Right.
Everlasting life is right here and now realized. I'm living now in eternal life now. Has nothing to do with what I experience. I know who and I believe that I'm fully persuaded. And we've got to become so fully persuaded in the conviction that Jesus prepared this realm for us, that where I am, he said, in a state of awareness, in so much a sense of opulence, a comeliness, that the people will come and touch the hem of your garment and they will be made whole. And he never said, I've got faith. All he said, of myself I do nothing. If you touch the hem of his garment, you touch the hem of the absolute. And I guarantee you, things will begin to change. But not change necessarily in any way that you think is going to happen, because the purpose of God appearing to you is really the constant dissolving from material sense living. You know what I'm saying? Constantly departing from the molecular structure of the body that you're trying to improve with all sorts of things, you know what I mean? And I suppose there's nothing wrong with that on a physical level, but you know, it's all going to perish. And the time that we have, maybe 70, maybe very shortly, because people, you know, some people live to 45, some other people live to 95. I mean, it makes no difference. But God has allotted us a time to awaken to the place what is prepared for us so that we can dwell in it. Isn't that right? Verily I say unto you, I say unto you, the hour is coming. And it's going to happen in 2025. Is it? What did he say? And now is when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, they that hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so also has he given to the Son to have life in himself. What is this life? 1 John 1, verse 1 says, the life was manifest. The life? What's the life? Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life. What's the life? The life is eternal, immortal, incorruptible, full of glory, and there shall be no more crying, no more tears, but the former things are passed away, and I've made all things new. And there shall be no more hurt in all my holy mountain. This is the day that we're entering into a higher consciousness where we are going to not only live on the mountain, we're going to be the mountain. We're going to be the height of the people to come into, because the whole world is waiting for us to wake up. Isn't that right? No longer trying to fix ourselves up, but rather to, or, you know, rather than to find out truly, who am I? Where do I come from? Where do I live? Do I live in a body? Have you ever tried to find out where you live? Well, I live in the house of the Father. And what is the house of the Father? A body made without hands, eternal in the heavens. Huh? So this mortality that we have experienced must be metamorphosed and must be changed from one degree of glory into another degree of glory until we behold with open face. Now, an open face is a face that God, that's God's face, and it's God's faith too, God's face. God's face is absolute glory, light, and in it there is no darkness, in it there is no corruption, in it there is no death, in it there is nothing else, but we got to develop this, and we must come out of what Mike has been sharing, and most of you have been hearing all that, that we stop judging this world. Because the moment that you begin to judge a world of appearances or things that appear to be there and appear to be happening, you're living in a dream. Because it's not happening. It's not happening? No, this world is not happening. The dream somehow has managed to go on for such a long time, but it's a dream. And a dream has no reality. And a dream, from the moment that man says, I'm afraid, he became hypnotized by a belief system that has formed itself. And of course, Jesus came to judge it. He judged it and he said, it is finished. This thing legally dissolved. God has no awareness of this world at all. He's only aware of you being there, and he's encouraging you to awaken to righteousness and sin not. Paul said, I say this to your shame. You do not have the knowledge of God. How much knowledge of God there is in the world that is not of God? Most of it is not of God. It's only that what Jesus spoke, that he said, my Father judges no man, and he's committed all judgment to the Son. So we do not judge the world anymore, because the world is already judged, it's already finished, it's already complete. It doesn't have, well, the world's not complete, but the judgment is complete. And God finished the work. The completed mystery is now being revealed. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
The completed mystery.
Yeah.
It's unfolded, the fellowship of the mystery that had been hidden in God from the foundation of this world. When the Lamb was slain, and it said the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Some people say, well, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, but it doesn't know what it says. And they take an example that God foreknew that man was going to sin, so he slew his own son on the cross. And that's not true. We slew the Lamb, not God, and it says slain. God did, you know. I mean, do you think that God slays his own son? No, he didn't. We slew the Lamb because we were that proverbial innocence that was in the beginning with God, and we knew him and we knew ourselves the way we are known, and we are all that multiple son, if you like to call it. Let us. You are the us of God. You are the Elohim. You are the principal thing that existed in the beginning before the world was. And I have come to bear witness to this truth. And you are going to bear witness to truth. So it's, try to not focus anymore on the things what appear to be ugly, you know. Even when people suffer, sometimes it's hard to keep your eyes over it, you know what I mean? When somebody either is sick and some people even die of some terrible accident or some whatever it is, don't let your heart be overcharged with care, okay? Because it's not going to help you, and it's not going to help me either. Nothing is going to help the world. And all what happens in the world is already finished. The world has already finished. All the things what have happened have already happened, and they're already done or over with. It's already done. And God is still our Father, and He is Lord of all, and He's in you all, and through you all, and as you all. And marvel not, I said on this, for this hour is coming, with all that in the grave of the human mind will hear His voice. Huh? And we always thought there was going to be a resurrection in the future, and we're all going to come out of the, and we're going to all be raptured out of here, you know what I mean? Yeah? You remember that? That was an old wife tale. An old wife tale. The dead are the ones that are without the understanding of the love and of the finished mystery of God. And they will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the grave shall be open. And I will hear the voice say, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believeth on me shall never see death. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, we've got to believe it. But how do I believe it? How can I turn believing into knowing?
Yes.
Well, you know, I've come already to a place where I feel a little bit guilty for not feeling guilty.
Yeah.
You know, I feel so, how can I say, I feel so good because I don't have any sense of sin anymore. Can you just imagine? People said to me, oh, we know you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was, years later, after I was freed from the curse of this humanity that I was living in, I used to, you know, and I was sitting at a bus stop going because I had a church van, because at the time we had about 200 people in the church. But the moment I start telling them that the devil is not what you thought it was, and the kingdom of God is not out there somewhere, one by one they start to leave. And instead of having 200 people, we finished up with about a dozen. Especially when I said, the God that you have been believing in doesn't exist. There is no God out there. And not going to be a second coming or a rapture. That's all baloney. You know, it is. Isn't that a good American term? I don't know if you know what baloney is, but... So now, we're coming then to the final moment of our seminar. When Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father, which sent me. And I will bear witness. If I bear witness of my witness is not true. There's another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness with he witnesses of me is true. Do you know the one that bears witness of you is the Father who judges you and sees you beautiful? You are my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Do you feel well pleased with yourself? You gotta be honest now. Do you really feel well pleased with yourself? I would be pleased if I could pay the rent. Have you yet awoken into its likeness without demand? Without demand God doing something, but you can ask God for whatever you like to call, God will not give it to you. Because He already has instituted it in you. All things are already yours. All things. Now, I mean, if everything is mine, why don't I have it? Because you still have this sense of lack. And you've got to be like the man with the 17 cars. He had no need of cars. Now, I mean, that's an illustration, of course. I mean, if we've come to a place where we have no need of anything what is of this world, you'd be surprised it will start to appear everywhere. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful because that's how it's added to you. Huh? It's added to you when you no longer have a feeling of I want. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen to some of Wilfred's. Our Lord is my shepherd. So, Spirit is my shepherd. Where the Spirit of God is leading me, or the Spirit of the Lord, when it's realized, is emancipation from all human desire. He leads me beside the still waters. Even though thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear the evil that appears in this world, or the things that even are coming to my body or my circumstances. I feel no evil because the Lord is my shepherd, or the Spirit is my shepherd. Now we hear these things in funerals, but that's not a psalm to speak good things for the dead, you know what I mean? He was such a good man. Oh yes, he was a good man. Yeah, I know. This is why he's now history.
Oh.
He's history because he thought he was good or thought he was bad, it doesn't matter. He's history. Let us always remember, history is history. Huh? It's kaput. It's finished. Done away with. So we are walking into a new heaven and a new earth, and there shall be an absolute realization that we are the light of the world, the city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And that light is your sense of opulence, a sense of feeling, a belonging that you feel within yourself. And I know that I have fully believed and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Everything is fine. I don't have to judge anything or feel anything. I just am that what I am, and my light will shine. Huh? And I thank you very much, and I thank every one of you so attentively listening and hearing to all the speakers that have spoken, and even the ones that have not spoken, even the ones that have played the guitar for you, you know?
Amen.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
All the little things what happened, all in our seminar, the love was manifest, and God speaks to all these avenues, and there's nothing lacking in our body of light and our body of love, where we are having fellowship with one another. And then the nature of the Lamb. Nature of the Lamb, okay? The nature of the Lamb of God cleanses us from all these ugly little judgments and all these feelings of despair. Let's stay in that realm even when we go home today. So thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for everybody for coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.